Praise the Lord.
En la gloria de Dios.
Other than just being fun, the story really does have a spiritual meaning that is practical to you and I. And the practicality of that is that God is able to handle any situation that we are willing to give to Him. And it also seems as though that praise is something that is very necessary in those types of situations. We may think, oh me, oh my, here it comes again, what's going on? We might want to wring our hands and moan and groan. But if we really believe in the reality of God, and that reality is something that we can draw strength from, and give us the ability to believe that however impossible it may seem, God will intervene on our behalf. I'd like to pray before we start. All right, the children need to settle down a little bit. Father, I'm very glad that we can be here this afternoon. I'm very glad that we have the Word of God. I'm very glad that you have a plan and purpose for each individual here, every soul. I trust that you will give me wisdom to impart that which is upon your heart, that we might learn, that we might be encouraged, and that we might begin to understand the mystery of God that would unfold before us in accordance to your word. So, Father, we present ourselves to you, our minds, our emotions, our desires, and we ask for the strength to submit our wills unto you this afternoon. We want to bind every distraction, any device, in any means by which the devil might want to interfere, to bring to naught the grace that you have given to us for this occasion. Father, I ask that you do not let the devil snatch away the relevance of the truth. That would be imparted to every individual here this afternoon. In Jesus' name. We are indeed a very privileged people. In that God said in the last days,
tungod kay ang Dios sa kaingon sa katapusan mga adlaw,
that he was going to reveal unto us the mysteries of God.
Nga siya nagaingon nga ang Dios mohatag kanato og papasabot sa mga butang tinago.
God has always been something that has been something of an elusive thought or concept. Most people that are involved with religion, they don't know God as a reality. They don't know God as a personality. God is something that is a thought that is in their mind. Or it's some sort of emotional position of reaction to a particular circumstance or a situation. They really don't know God as a personality. Now, I want to tell you a little secret. Maybe you don't know about it. God never intended to build a church. Church is not something that was in the mind or in the heart of God. In fact, I'll go a little step further. It was man's manipulation of God that really the church came into existence. Because the Bible tells me that you and I are supposed to be the house of God. The Bible tells me that God says, I want to dwell in them. And in the dwelling in them, he's not talking about a building per se. He's not talking about a denominational setting. He's not talking about an organization that has some sort of name on it that refers or makes reference to the deity or to the Trinity of which God is. God desired to dwell in the hearts of humanity. God desired to build his collectiveness on the basis of a body, not a building, a body. When the Bible talks about church, it's talking about the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And it is not an organization. It is an organism. Organization is something that is structured, something that is rigid, something that is unchangeable. An organism is something that grows and develops and is flexible and is able to adapt to many different environments as well as situations.
Okay.
And the devil is not as dumb as we would like to think that he is. He knew what God intended to do. And what he wanted to do was to usurp that position of God and make himself the head of that organism. Now, what I'm telling you, you will find in the Bible in many different places. One of those places is in Isaiah. Is it the 28th chapter? The 28th chapter of Isaiah, or is it the 14th? Hallelujah. There are two specific places in the Bible. One of them is in Jeremiah. And the other one is in Isaiah. You can just make a note of it. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Read the entire chapter. You can go to Jeremiah 28. Ezekiel, sorry. You can go to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And it really outlines the devil's plan. In both of those books, in both of those chapters, there is a word that is coming via the prophet concerning an individual that lived during that time frame. And he's using those individuals as an example, as an allegory, to explain to us what happened at the beginning of Genesis 1. Hallelujah. And in that book, in one of those chapters, he gives the five I wills of what Satan is going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he switches from talking about a man to talking about the devil. Now, this is one of the mysteries that the devil does not want to be uncovered, or does not want you and I to know about. Because if we begin to understand the position of the devil, and the position or the place that man has as far as God's thoughts and plans are, we can begin to understand that the devil really has no power over us. And you know, we as a people, we do not really believe that. We believe that the devil is bigger than God. We believe that the devil is bigger than us. We believe that the devil is stronger than us. We believe that the devil is smarter than us. But what I am here to tell you is that without you, the devil can do nothing. Hallelujah. You know, man, the Bible says that man was created a little lower than the angel. But he was exalted to be over the entire creation of what God created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's another principle in all of what I am saying. And that principle involves the creation of kind. I use the word kind, K-I-N-D. Because it is a biblical terminology. It is not only a biblical terminology, but it is a principle. A spiritual principle that cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It cannot in any way be fabricated to be anything other than what it is God intended it to be in the very beginning. Hallelujah. And it is very important for us to understand what kind are we. I believe it is in one of the books of Peter. It says, you are a peculiar people. That word peculiar doesn't mean weird or strange or funny or something in that aspect. The definition in the Greek means something that is very special. Something that is very particularly made in a certain way. That is one of the way. That is one of the reasons that the Bible tells us or uses the terminology that you are born again. Hallelujah. Not only are you born again, but you are born after and in a peculiar way. Hallelujah. It says you are not born after the will of man. Man had nothing to do with this aspect of you being born again. Man is excluded from having anything to do with that aspect of being born again. Hallelujah. So it says you are not born. after the will of the flesh. It's talking about a realm of existence. A realm of existence that is horizontal with me. A realm of existence that is governed by laws and regulations that pertain to everything that is flesh. Hallelujah. So when it says that I am not born after the will of the flesh, it is saying I am not subject to the rules and the laws that govern that flesh. Now that doesn't mean I can go out here and do whatever I want to do because I'm born again. Because he doesn't just leave it there. He says, I am born. You are born after the will of Elohim. So there's another set of rules or regulations that are higher than this horizontal realm of existence. And if I want to escape this realm of the flesh, I must adhere to and I must want to move in the strata of His will. Hallelujah. Jesus many times subjected himself and vocalized his position of submission to the Father. And the disciples came to him and they asked him, how should we pray? And if you will take that prayer and go through it and examine it piece by piece. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, God did not give us the reality of that prayer that we might recite it over ritualism and in ceremony. Wrapped up in the context of what is spoken is a mystery. Wrapped up in the midst of this word that he was giving to the disciples is a revelation. An understanding of how the mechanics of Elohim work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I am coming to the place that I really, really do not even want to refer to the Father as God. Because there are many gods. Hallelujah. There are many gods. Hallelujah. There's the God that rules over marriage. There's a God that rules over children and having children. We have gods for everything. Hallelujah. And when the devil came to Eve, he took a part of a truth and dressed it in a lie. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? The fact of what we are in the flesh is not what God created us to be, nor did He have anything to do with it. Hallelujah. But the devil had a plan to try to interfere and intervene and take the place of God by using man. The whole plan of God concerning creation and what is yet to come is contingent not on the will of God per se, but on the will of man on the basis of what he does with it with regards to God. Hallelujah. Did you hear that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God was so confident in what He was making. God was so sure of the plan that He had concerning man. That He turned the future of God over to man and then put it into man's hand. Can you imagine that you're holding the future of God in your hand? Come on, brethren. If God is building a body, that means that God needs that body to do something that God wants to do. Hallelujah. The vehicle of doing it, He put into the hands of man. Into man's hand, and he stepped away from it. Loose him. There's a little bit of information there in the beginning chapters of Genesis. It says that God created all of these things on this time, and this time He created, and this time He created, and this time He created. Hallelujah. And the last thing He created was man. Hallelujah. And then He turned around and says, "It's yours." Gave it to Adam. Step back away from it to see what Adam would do with it. God is showing us a spiritual reality of a position of authority that He wants to move man into.
Ang Diyos ay katulad ng karanasan ng kahulugan ng isulong sa mga nai ay mayang plano ang iyang
inom sa ato matakos ka na kinabuhayon ang matakos ka na to mubuhat sumala sa iyahang kabubuton.
And the Bible says, and he said unto them.
Ang Biblia na yun siya na ngayon na ako iyakinini sultihan siya.
Adam was not yet divided. Hallelujah. There was a him and her. Hallelujah. And he called them. Collectively. Together. Working to bring things into a place of submission and having dominion over the works of his hand. Now, brethren, don't tell me that God didn't know what the devil was going to do. We believe that God is omniscient. He knows everything. So where was God when the devil was over there in the garden talking to Eve? He was over there walking and talking with Adam. Hallelujah. Now, if you're walking and talking with Elohim, the omniscient, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, hallelujah, the all in every place at the same time, God, hallelujah. What do you think he might have been talking to Adam about? Hallelujah. I think he was talking to him about God business. I think he had the father's heart that was sharing with a son. Hallelujah. Telling him of the secrets, telling him of the position or the place that he wants to exalt man through and how he was going to do it. Hallelujah. So the devil comes up to Eve and he taps her on the shoulder. Don't you know that you can be as gods? Hallelujah. Now, come on. Eve had no knowledge of devil. Did you hear me? She had no knowledge of evil. All she knew about is Elohim, the Father. So she's going to fall prey to deception. Hallelujah. Loose. But what you don't understand, or we don't understand as a people, we are now seeing in the very beginning of the Bible the story of salvation. Because God was very much aware of what was going to happen before he even created the earth. In Revelation, I believe it's chapter 13. It says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? Maybe you should turn to it so you can read it. Huh? 13:8. Who has a Filipino Bible?
Na Filipino Biblia. Pwede ko magbasa.
Pagpareya, Kapitulo 13, Versikulo 5. Ang tanan ng mga nagkapuyo sa yuta, magasimpa kaniya. Kang kansa ang mga ngalan, wala na isulat sa pasahon sa kinabugi sa natin na kapiro o dipatay. Ikan sa pagkukod sa kalibutan.
Hallelujah. Is that 13:8?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
13:8.
Chapter 13.
Verse 8. Last phrase.
Yes, from. Now, does your Filipino Bible say that?
Oh, resulti na.
So you would interpret that how?
Yeah, ang kanero, ang natin kanero gi, mas pare gi gihatag ang daan sa pagpasalubong sa libutan.
Would you interpret that as before the world was made?
Ang pagpasalubong na sa wala pa mahimo ang kalibutan.
The Lamb.
Wala pa gani mahimo ang maong natin kanero.
Which we know to be Jesus Christ was already slain. When you say slain, it meant that he was killed and his blood was shed. Hallelujah. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What a God! Prior to and even before Eve obeyed the devil, God provided a means by which she could be redeemed. But that redemption would not come in her generation or in several generations that were to follow. Hallelujah. It could only come when Christ was crucified. But that spiritual principle of blood to those who have the knowledge of it brings redemption. Hallelujah. The best illustration of that redemption is Enoch. Hallelujah. I am telling you of the basic foundational principles of redemption and salvation, but also of perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enoch lived several thousand years previous to the coming of Jesus Christ. And we are told that he walked with God. And when you go into the Hebrew of the language, it means that he just didn't walk side by side with God, walking along talking, but there was intimate relationship and sharing of heart. Hallelujah. We are given a glimpse of this desire of God to have this type of relationship with man. Hallelujah.
aplikasyon tanay mahilabot sa tao.
In the story of Abraham.
Bisa pala ito ng Abraham.
Hallelujah. Abraham, we are only given certain highlights of Abraham's life. But I want you to use your spiritual imagination, if I may. Abraham was born in the Ur of Chaldee. They were a heathenistic, pagan orientation and civilization. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only was it, but they believed in human sacrifice. Hallelujah. Not only that, but Abraham was the son of a priest of Baal. Hallelujah. And he was being groomed or tutored by his father to take his position or his
place.
Now, the first thing that we know about Abraham is that God appeared to him in the Ur of Chaldees and told him to get up and get out. Come on. Now come on, brethren. If somebody came into your house and told you you must get up, you must pack your things, and you must leave immediately. You must flee, as it were, for your life. And visibly, there's nothing wrong. The business of the world is going on around you without any problem. Are you going to believe them? Are you going to be? I'm not talking about a threatening type of situation. Hallelujah. There must have been some sort of relationship that Abraham had with the Father prior to that moment. And that's not a thought that I just get out of the air somehow. Because the Bible says that if I want God to draw nigh to me, I have to draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can just imagine Abraham in the spiritual environment that he was in, is that there was something working in Abraham's heart that was telling him, this is wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what your conversion of salvation was, but I know what was mine. I'm living out here in the world, playing in the games that the world plays, wrapped up in it. It's in my mind. It's in my emotions. It's in my heart. It's in my body. Hallelujah. God was the farthest thing from my mind that I could think of.
Hallelujah.
one day I begin to wonder about all of these things that were going on because I was so, so unhappy and depressed.
Yes!
Not only was I depressed, but I was becoming suicidal in my thinking, in my actions. And I can remember looking up at the sky. That's the only place I knew to look because God was supposed to be up there somewhere. Hallelujah. Taking my fist and say, if you're up there somewhere, you're going to help me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Needless to say, God help me. Hallelujah. And I can imagine Abraham. The sacrifice of children, the sacrifice of human life. Inherently, humanity is not programmed in that way. Hallelujah. And I believe he began to cry out to the unknown God. And in that position of crying out, I believe God came down and began to manifest himself to the man called Abraham. Hallelujah! And from that point on, begin to build a walking, talking relationship with the Father. Until the time came that Abraham was supposed to now step out of this low realm of relationship, yet into a higher position of relationship with this Elohim. And he comes, the Lord comes and says, get thee out of thy father's house. Get thee out of this of thy family. Out of thy tribal affiliation. Get thee out of this land into a land which I will show you. Loose him. Hallelujah. Abraham had the strength. Pack his bag. Pack his family. Move out. And when he stepped out of the door of his house, Abraham became the father of faith. Hallelujah. Abraham had to do something to earn the title of being the father of faith. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, it's a story of salvation all wrapped up in Abraham. We find ourselves out here in the world sometimes wrapped up into religious theology. We go to church. We go to work. We live our lives. And slowly but surely the life is being sucked out of us. And that experience is supposed to start something, activate something in your soul. Especially if you are born again. Because what you are in the spiritual sense has a different longing that is supersedes the environment that you are around. You know why we get depressed? Oh, of course, you probably don't have to work with depression, right? You don't ever get depressed, right? You're always happy and cheerful, overcoming, positive thinkers, you know. There's no poor me, oh me, oh my. There's no, oh God, where are you? You know why we're depressed? Because we don't know who we are. And there's something inside of you. If you are born again, if you're not born again, then you're aware of something that is missing. But if you are born again, the germ of life within you has no connection with this materialistic world. It's longing for something that is greater. It's longing for something. It's longing for something that will give it a fuller meaning of living. And it's like a child locked in a closet, banging on the door to get out. Because it's something that has been bequeathed to you by the Almighty Father. It's a germ of life that needs to be encouraged and nourished and fed. Hallelujah. I can hear sometimes it crying, "Let me out of here!" Hallelujah. Do you remember when the disciples came to Jesus? I believe it was with the woman at the well in Samaria. They were minding the flesh. They had to go find something to eat. They had to feed this natural body. But while they were out minding the flesh, Jesus was there at the well minding the Father's business. Hallelujah. And in the spirit, he honed in on that woman and where she was and the dissatisfaction that she had with life and the disappointment that was killing her.
Hallelujah. sa iyang inasuloran ng Diyos kung may tapos sa Diyos ngadto kaniya na labaw pa sa iyang itinanglan na natural.
And while they were busy looking for bread, busy looking for fish, he was pulling another soul up out of hell. Look up on
it.
And they come back with their food. You know, he started a revival over a drink of water. He started, a whole town turned over and got saved. And the disciples missed all of it. They were busy on their cell phones. They were busy doing this and busy doing that. They had the Son of God standing right there next to them. Hallelujah. You have him inside of you. How much more culpable will we be than what they were? How much more responsible will we be? Because we don't know who we are. You're not Filipino, but you insist on being Filipino. And I have nothing against Filipinos. You were not born of the flesh. You were not born of the will of man. You were born of the will of God. Disciples came to him and offered him food. He said, no. He said, aren't you hungry? Aren't you? You've traveled as far as we have. You haven't ate since we have last eaten. Aren't you hungry? He says, I have meat to eat. I have meat to eat that you do not know. What was the meat? Doing the will of the Father. Can you imagine the relationship between a human being and a figment or thought of your imagination? The Bible tells us he was constantly, totally, absolutely, always aware of the presence of the Father. We are told that we might know the relationship that God wants us to have with Him as a Father. Now, some fathers in the natural do not portray or do those things that build a relationship. But that's no excuse for us not to have a relationship with the Father that is known as God. Hallelujah. You know, my relationship with my natural father was not a close, intimate relationship. He was too busy, wrapped up in his business, wrapped up in his lifestyles. Hallelujah. To give me much an example of a father, but when I became born again. God began to teach me the position of relationship that a father is supposed to have with his son. And when I got married and began to bring forth children, I wanted to be a father unto them. And I wanted them to be my children. Hallelujah. So I spent amazing amount of time with them. I was very blessed to be employed as a contractor in construction. So all my children would come to work with me periodically. Even my daughters were involved in with me in my work.
Hallelujah.
And we took it upon ourselves to begin to teach them our home, school them in the environment of our home. Hallelujah. I learned more teaching them than when I was going to school. Hallelujah. But in the exercise of all of it, I was learning how to be a father. And you know, my children and I would wrestle sometimes at night. Wrestle. They would all come in and jump on me. And the idea was to get Dad down on the floor. So I was wrestling with them, trying to keep them from getting me down on the floor. And I can remember one of them was just a little baby crawling. But they wanted to get into the fray and to the excitement of what was going on. And I'd reach out my hand and kind of grab it and cut a little bit where it wouldn't get hurt, with everybody piling on top of me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I was learning how to be a father. And as I begin to learn how to be a father, I begin to understand the love of the Father for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This third principle is relationship. That is the basis of the foundation that God wants to build with us as His children. How much time do you spend with the Father? There's 24 hours in a day. Whether you live in the Philippines or in the States or in Europe or Africa, you probably sleep, what, 6 to 7 hours of that 24? Maybe a little less, I don't know. I know that as I get older, it seems like I sleep less.
Inang ibalban sa dinang naganap sa katibulan, mura o ga naganap o kahilay na.
You have to go to work. That will probably take 8 or 10 of those hours. Of what you have left over, how much of it do you give to the Father? Close, personal, intimate relationship. Hallelujah. The Bible says if we draw nigh to God,
hallelujah.
This is me. I am giving him maybe 15% of my time.
Siguro, 15% ang akong panahon.
How much of that 15% is God going to return? Let me put it into a biblical principle, okay? I give him 30% of my time. How much is the Father going to give back to me? If I give him 60% of my time, how much is the Father going to give back to me? If I give him 100% of my time, oh, you're saying in your mind, you're saying that's impossible. I gotta work, I gotta sleep, I gotta eat, I gotta do this, I gotta shop, I gotta do the washing, I gotta go to work, this blah 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 blah. The Bible says that you and I are supposed to pray without ceasing. That means, in spite of what's going on around you, you're supposed to continue to pray. Pray and pray. Your mind has to be open to the Father. I said to God one day, I said, Father, you know I have to work. You know I have to work. And you know that I need to provide for my family. So teach me how to keep my mind stayed upon you. And God began to take me. I was so blessed in my work. Every job I have ever had always had a spiritual significance and always pointed me to the Father. I was a carpenter, and I was a good one. I was a farmer, and I was a good one. Worked hard, busy, but always being reminded of the Father and His business in my employment. Now, I don't know how they build here, even the bad things. No, by the way, this is a scriptural reality.
Okay.
Some had 30-fold. Some had 60-fold. Some had 100-fold. What does it mean? 30,
60, 100.
This means nominal Christianity. Nominal. Hello? Do you have the word nominal? I want you to understand nominal. Huh?
Minimum requirement.
Barely. Barely making the requirements that are necessary. Do you have the word mediocre? Do you have the word mediocre? Mediocre. It means so-so. Not real good, but not real bad. Just so-so. You're mediocre. I'll give you a scriptural principle. Lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
You're not cold. You're not hot. You're lukewarm. War. I don't know if Luke is right. Is that the way you spell Luke? Huh? L-U-K-E. Yeah. Lukewarm. What does your Bible say about lukewarm? What does your Filipino Bible say about lukewarm? Anybody know the scripture? Revelations. What chapter? What is it? Chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Maybe we should read that in the... Read that. I want you to read what lukewarm is. It's the Laodicean church, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an indictment of... It's an indictment to the Laodicean church.
Nang tungod kay ikaw kulang sa kainit, kung gilip bugnaw o ini, akong luwa kayo gikan sa akong papa.
Luod na naita na ini-init kung bugnaw, luod bakit sumanong.
So, does your Bible says he will spew you out of his mouth?
Klaro kayo, luod siya, iluwa kami, iluwa.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me put it in a different perspective. Can I do that? I'm going to put it in a different perspective. This is our carnal soul.
This is carnal.
Soul. Now, carnal is a word that is only used to describe a mediocre Christian. Carnal. You have a mind. My pens are all done. You have a mind. You have desires. You have emotions. Well, I put it in the wrong place. I just got corrected. When God found me, I was down here in the pit. And my soul was under the influence of hell. Huh? This, by the way, is hell. It's a bottomless pit. Hallelujah. God in His mercy, divine intervention, saved me. But I'm saved. But I've got hell all around me. And I got hell inside of me. This is 100 up here. And for this conversation, we'll say this is 0 right here. And as I begin to read the word, I begin to pray, I begin to fellowship, I begin to listen to the word of God, not just the Bible, but those messages that are around. I read them, I listen to them. I drew this wrong too. I'm being corrected as I go along, you know. Comes out of here. Because this is what God wants. I'm in this deep dark hole of sin. I got hell inside of me. I got hell all around me. But I begin. God is up here. I'm going to put it out here, but it should be in here. God is out here, and He begins to reel me up. God begins to reel me up. Did you ever wonder why Jesus told the disciples that they were going to be fishers of men?
Wow.
How many of you been, how many of you go fishing? Huh? Throw that line out there. Fish hits it. And you do what? You begin to reel it in. And he begins to reel me up. And I'm not only being reeled up, but I am learning about God, and I'm changing. I am not thinking bad thoughts or dirty thoughts anymore. I am not involved in doing bad things. Going to the bar. I'm beginning to think different. I'm beginning to act different. I'm beginning to be different. Hallelujah. So there is a metamorphosing that is happening to my soul. I still have hell inside of me, but I don't have as much hell as I used to. But I still have hell all around me, and I have hell on top of me. So, at this point, I am born again. I'm born of the blood. I'm born of the water. But possibly not yet born of the Spirit. So, right now, I'm at the 30-fold level. I'm 30-fold, but what do I have on top of me? It would be 90-fold. I have the sins of my father. I have familiar spirits. I have these things that I'm dealing with that are on top of me that I have inherited by my virtue of my parentage. At this point, you could say, I am obeying the voice of the Lord to get thee out of my family.
Siguro din sa diha nga dapit sa ubos ng bahin, nakadulog na ta sa Ginoo, may ina ta sa Ginoo. Sige.
I am leaving behind those traditional things that we as a family participate in that are not righteous.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's say I get born of the Spirit. I get born of the Spirit. Huh? I have a little less hell inside of me than I had here. But I still have somehow inside of me, and I'm still down in the pit. You say this, we can say this is
60-fold.
The commandment toward me, to me in this is, get thee out of thy kindred.
Hallelujah.
I will put this to you in a context that you can understand. Tribal affiliation. You all have tribes, right? A certain sect or group of people that you belong to. It may not be as prominent here today, I don't know, as it is in Africa. But I probably think that it is. A tribe is an association or a family all in itself. There are traditional things that pertain to you as a part of that tribe. And another thing, the organized religious system does not go against those tribal affiliations. Hallelujah. So, I am born of the blood. I've been baptized in water. I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But yet I have not yet achieved the goal that God has set for me. And brethren, believe you me, every Christian who was born again, the goal is 100% in the mind of God. God does not just want Christians, God wants sons.
Hallelujah.
And God wants to bring us to the point where we no longer have hell inside of us, and we are now disseminating the hell that is around us. That the kingdom of this earth becomes the kingdom of our God, our Father. Hallelujah! So you have the 30. That is out of court experience. But 30, you still have 90% of you that is in darkness.
Not
60%.
70. 90% nga napagyapon ka sa dili maayo nga kahimtang.
And I'll just throw in this little thing for you here. There is an altar here in the holy place that's called the altar of incense.
Naa diri nga mga halaran nga naay isunugon dinha ang mga insenso. Ato na mga panako bitaw dito insenso.
I'm sorry to keep you so long, but I don't know if I'll get another shot at you. Hallelujah. This altar is yours and my altar. This altar, there are two altars in the tabernacle. The first altar is the brazen altar, which is the representation of the offering of Christ.
Ang primero nga altar ni Nea, kini nga brazen altar, mawkini siya ang pinipilitar may tungkol sa pagpamamatay ni Kristo Jesus. Kini ang nangisunod kita nato sa pagpangalagan. At ito rin na ang Diyos na pagpamatay ang alam ka nato.
This altar cannot be duplicated.
O kana siya nga mawag altar o halaran, hindi niyo pwede nga
It was sanctified and consecrated by one man, and his name was Jesus Christ. We accept the deliverance that it brought by virtue of his blood and the forgiveness of sin. We can be partakers of that sacrifice. Hallelujah. It cannot be duplicated. This altar is your altar and my altar. Did you hear me? It's called the altar of incense. And they would take the incense and put it upon the altar. It would be consumed with fire. Hallelujah. And that is the position or place where one dedicates a sanctified, clean, and pure soul to God as an offering. Now, the principle of an offering is that it could not have one little speck or spot or blemish upon it. Did you hear me? When they crucified Jesus Christ, the night before the crucifixion, they took him to the high priest. And the high priest was supposed to, with the lamb, was supposed to declare it as clean. So real lamb, the natural lamb, is that there would be several individuals and they would be going through the fur of the lamb, examining the skin, making sure there was not one little taint or spot. It had to be pure, it had to be white.
Ang kaguluhan na dalong ang usaka, ang ihalag ng karnero sa natural na mga pagi, na dalong ito niya, na ay usay mga pari sa mayroon na ako kung insakto ba yun ang wala pa yung mga kuto o sa mga perfect na ihigpit pag ito ang mga ihalag. Kay mao ka na siya ang requirement sa mga una, mao ka na siya ang angay buhaton sa mga
ihalag. And it took them all night to do the examination, as it was with Christ.
Ang buti pa sa kunti ini nga, ang buti pa sa kunti ini nga, nakahulugan kini siya mahitungod kung sa nativo, paminaw sa mo, ay ito itong nakahulugan kaya. Ang buti pa sa kunti ini si Christ Jesus na mao kayo pinag-exacto mahalan at tubangan sa Diyos para sa inyong kasalanan, para sa aking kasalanan.
But the priest had a problem with Jesus. They could not find anything wrong with him, but they were not willing to pronounce him clean. They made up stories and lies and false witness against him, but they could not find any real fault with him, but they could not pronounce him clean. And the lamb had to be pronounced clean by a proper authority in order for it to be an acceptable offering to God. So they took the man to Pilate. And Pilate cross-examined the man, he scourged him, he pressed him, he pushed him. Oh my. Now remember, this man had to be pronounced clean. Do you know what happened? Pilate brought the man out. Brought out his basin of water. Begins to wash his hands. And he says, I find no fault in this man. The man was now ready to be sacrificed. Oh my God. Marvelous wisdom of God. It just blows my mind. Now, brother, we're talking about a clean sacrifice. Is this a clean sacrifice? Is this a clean sacrifice? Is this a clean sacrifice? So the 30 and the 60 are not qualified to be a sacrifice. Only those that make the 100-fold will be those that are willing and able to be acceptable offering. Hallelujah! impossible, for I am only human.
Siguro magaling ka, kaimposible po ana, sapagkat ako ay tao lamang.
I would ask you, what kind are you? What kind are you? When God created Adam, he did something with Adam that he did not do in any of the other creations. It says that Elohim breathed into the nostrils of that piece of clay. Hallelujah! And man stood up a living soul. My God, do you know what that means? It means he had the Elohim now inside of him. The energy that was in the Elohim, the omnipotent aspect of his character, was bequeathed and breathed into that hunk of clay. He was no longer clay. He was no longer the elements of the earth. He was divinely made in a divine manner, and he had an earthly form that housed the Elohim. When you accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, when you repented of your sins, God breathed, the Elohim breathed into your soul, and you stood up in the midst of eternity as a living, eternal soul. Kind blood relationship. Those are the building blocks for perfection and sonship. It's your choice. You can choose hell. You can choose 60 or 30. You can choose 60. Or you can choose 100%. I trust that we all would want to choose 100%. God bless you.